is your house coming along? Your house, you know, the one you're building. But you're not building a house. Oh, but you are. Last week I told you you were planting a garden every day. And you're planting seeds. And the seeds that you plant, you will reap. And you will reap more than you sow, and you will reap later than you sow. Well, you're also building a house every day. And one day, the building inspector of all building inspectors is going to come and inspect your house. Will it pass the test? Jesus said over in the book of Matthew, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then will recompense every man according to his deeds." You see, your life is like a house that you're building. And one day that house is going to be inspected. And if it does not pass the test, it's going to collapse. And I want you to know at the beginning, there is a key element that must pass, or it won't pass the test. And that is the foundation. The inspector's going to look at your foundation. And if that foundation is faulty, your house will not pass the test. I don't care how magnificent a structure you have built. If your foundation is faulty, your house will not pass the test. There is only one foundation. In fact, Jesus says He'll pass. There's only one. Now, there are many you could choose from. Innumerable foundations. But Jesus says there's only one that He will accept and will pass the test of His judgment. Our graduates are entered into a new phase of life. They have their life in front of them. You might say they're just in the beginning stages of building that house. It is crucial that you guys have the right foundation. But not only is it crucial that our graduates have the right foundation, obviously each of us is crucial, because every one of us will have our house inspected one day. And that house is what you'll spend eternity in. Now turn over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus gives us the one and only foundation that will pass His test. Over in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 24. This is the Sermon on the Mount, commonly known. Jesus is preaching. And as He's winding down this sermon, you might say He's given the invitation. Now, in respect for the Word of God, let's stand. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall. It had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You may be seated. May God bless the reading and the hearing, and most of all, the obeying of His Word. Jesus gives us two builders in this passage of Scripture: the wise builder and the foolish builder. We're going to look at each of these builders. And the question you need to be asking yourself is, which one of these builders am I? Because you're one or the other. You're either building as the wise builder your life, or you're building your life as the foolish builder built his house. First, the wise builder. Let's look at his character. His character is wise. Jesus speaks of him as being a wise man. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, in the Greek language, there are two words that we translate wise or wisdom in English. The first one is sophos, which we get sophisticated from, which carries the idea of theoretical wisdom, insight into the true nature of things. And then the other word means prudent. It means sensible. It means good common sense. The idea of practical wisdom. Now the word Jesus uses is the second word. Just good common wisdom. Just good common sense. He's saying that the man, this first man, built his house in a way that just makes good sense. He had good practical wisdom. But look at his foundation. His foundation was the rock. Jesus says, a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, the wise builder understands the importance of a good foundation. I remember a few years ago, this truth really coming home to me as they were building the Target shopping center up on the East-West Connector. Of course, I drove by every day to work. And I remember when they were building that shopping center, I remember they first cleared off all the trees. And then I began to see them go in with these big dirt movers, and they were big trucks, and they were hauling out dirt, truckload after truckload after truckload. I'd be coming by, and every day they'd be hauling out these big dump trucks full of dirt, day after day after day. And then one day I was coming into work, and I noticed that they were hauling in dirt. And I thought to myself, what? They've been spending 2 weeks hauling dirt out, and now they're hauling dirt back in? So I said, well, I guess they hauled out too much. And they realized, hey, we've done too much. We've got to bring some of it back. So I was talking to a fellow that makes his living grading, and I asked him about it. I said, doesn't it make sense to me? He said, oh. He says, only certain kinds of dirt can be foundation dirt. And what they were doing is hauling that dirt's dirt, in my opinion, but evidently it's not. And he said, you know, they were hauling out the dirt that wasn't worthy and didn't meet the grade to be foundational dirt, and then they had to haul in the good dirt. All that trouble just for something you don't even see. It's hidden from sight. But it's so crucial, isn't it? If you don't have a good foundation, the whole business will fall. Jesus says how foolish it is to build your life on something that's not permanent. Now, you think you had a bad day yesterday? Imagine if you were this homeowner. Built his house over a sinkhole. Faulty foundation. I don't care how beautiful the house was, how sturdy it might have been built, because the foundation was faulty, the house began to crumble. Jesus says that it doesn't make sense to build your house on a foundation that is less sturdy than your house. What good would it do to build a house of stone on a sinkhole? No good at all. But now, if you built your house on this foundation, Stone Mountain, you wouldn't have to worry about a sinkhole problem, now would you? Jesus says your foundation needs to be more permanent than the structure that you're building on top of it. You see, this foundation has been around since creation. You could build a house, any house you want to build over here on this, and you wouldn't have to worry about the foundation giving out before the house did. Now Jesus says that we need to build our lives, our immortal souls, on something that is more permanent than our souls. Now what in the world could be more permanent than your immortal soul? What foundation could be worthy upon which you should build your life? I mean, it needs to be a sturdy foundation. It needs to be a lasting foundation. It needs to be a sure foundation. What is more sure, what is more sturdy, what is more lasting even than Stone Mountain? The Word of God. God's Word. Jesus is saying that the only true foundation, the only foundation that you can build your life on that will pass His inspection is the Word of God. First of all, the Word of God is a sturdy foundation. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." The Word of God stands firm. Stone Mountain will be moved before the Word of God will be moved. Not only is it a sturdy foundation, it is a lasting foundation. Isaiah 40 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God abides forever." Forever. There will never be a time in all of eternity that the Word of God will not stand sure and firm. Because it is a sure foundation. Psalm 19:7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." What is your foundation for your life? On what foundation are you building your life? What is the authority in your life? Everything you do must rest on your foundation. Is your foundation the Word of God? If you want to build your life on a foundation that can never be moved and be more solid than the earth itself, you must build it on the Bible, the Word of God. So that's a wise man's foundation. Now let's look at his construction. How did this man build upon the rock? Verse 24 says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them." Obedience. Obedience to the Word of God is the way one builds their life on the foundation of the Word of God. To build your life upon the Word of God means not only you hear God's Word, but you act on God's Word as well. James talks about this over in his book in the first chapter, beginning with verse 22. Look at what he says about the importance of not just hearing the Word of God, but doing it, obeying it. He says, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Now, how does a person who's just a hearer of the Word delude themselves? They delude themselves because they think, well, they've heard it, that's enough. Well, I listen to Bible studies on the radio all the time. Preaching when I go into work, I'm listening to Bible studies. I listen to the Christian TV stations and I listen to the Christian radio and I hear the sermons preached on the television. Well, great. But just hearing it's not enough. Don't delude yourself into thinking because you hear biblical truth, because you hear the Word of God, that it's enough. He said, "But be doers of the Word." Verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and goes away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So the man that's only a hearer of the Word, like a man looks in the mirror and he sees a blemish, but he doesn't do anything about it. He just forgets and walks off. And all day long everybody sees that blemish on his face. Because he was only looking, not doing. We must obey the Word of God. Not enough just to hear sermons, read the Bible, not even enough to study your Bible. You must obey your Bible. You must make your decisions based on the Word of God. You must set your priorities based on the Word of God. You must determine your relationships and how you conduct yourself in those relationships by the Word of God. Your business practices should be determined by the principles of God's Word. Now, Jesus has been speaking in this Sermon on the Mount And starting in chapter 5 of Matthew, he's talked about many things. And so the question, you could go back to any one of these things and say, am I obeying this Scripture passage? If I am, then I'm building my life on the solid foundation of God's Word. If I'm not, then I'm not building it on God's Word. For instance, Jesus says that we are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, one of the characteristics of salt, it is distinct. You can taste salt. Nothing tastes like salt. Salt is salt. You can pick it up. If it's in something, and if there's a lot of it in there, you can immediately say, man, this is salty. Salt substitutes don't cut it. They're not the same as salt. It's distinct. Now, that means we as Christians need to be distinct in the world. People need to know we're Christians at work, at school, wherever we are. We need to stand out and be different. Not by the way we dress necessarily, but by attitudes, by our demeanor, by our language, by our work ethic. We should be different. He's also, salt also is a purifier. It purifies. You and I should have a purifying effect upon this society as we live righteously in an unrighteous world. Now, are you doing that? Are you shining forth His righteousness in an unrighteous world? If you are, then that's a good indication you're building your life on the solid foundation. Now, let's look fourthly at His judgment. Verse 25. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I believe the storm represents the sum total of God's judgments on this life in the great day of judgment. When this man's life comes before God to be judged, it stands the test. Because he has built his house on the Word of God. When this man's life is put to the test, it stands solid. His true saving faith is evidenced by his obedience to the Word of God. Now listen to this. The true test of saving faith is we obey God's Word. It's the fruit of our saving faith. It is the authority of our life. We're building our life upon it. This is what the Bible teaches. Now, it's not our obedience that earns our salvation. We know that we cannot earn salvation. But our obedience gives the evidence, gives the proof that we have a saving faith. I am greatly alarmed when people claim to be Christians. They've walked down an aisle, they've said a prayer, they've joined a church, they've been baptized, but yet they're living in an immoral relationship. People living together outside of marriage. That's not living in obedience to God's Word. Jesus says the evidence of a saving faith is we have surrendered not only to the Lord of the Word, but the Word of the Lord. You say, you can't surrender to the Lord of the Word without surrendering to the Word of the Lord. It must be the authority in our lives. Over in 1 John chapter 2, look at how clearly John makes it. Now you've got to remember, John is writing to a group of people who said, as long as you believe the right thing, it doesn't matter how you live. As long as your beliefs are right. You know, well, I believe in God. I believe Jesus is God's Son. I believe He died for my sins. Now, you can live like you want, because that's not what's important. What's important is what you believe. See, they had drawn a distinction between what one believes and what one does. And John is saying, uh-uh. You can't do it. Because what you truly believe shows in how you live, what you do. And look at what John says. And I think it's a word for our day, because we see the same thing happen in our day with our postmodern mindset that truth is relative, that it doesn't really matter as long as you believe something. Look at what John says. beginning in verse 3 of 1 John 2. By this we know that we have come to know Him, that is, come into a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, if we keep His commandments. He says we can know that we have a personal relationship with Jesus because we keep His commandments. That's the fruit of our personal relationship. That's the evidence of it. And then he goes on to say, the one who says, I have come to know Him, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, I'm a Christian, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. How much clearer could John say it? I don't think it could be any clearer, folks. If you're not living in obedience to the Word of God, if you're not building your life on the foundation of God's Word, then you're not a Christian. If your faith does not give evidence of obedience to the Word of God, then you don't have a saving faith. In this same chapter in Matthew, you remember Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. He said, He will say to many on that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, disobedience. The one who says, I know Him, I'm a Christian, but doesn't live in obedience to the Word is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Also look in 1 John there. He is stressing the emphasis of obedience and how important obedience is. That's the first builder. His life is built upon the Word of God. It is the authority of his life and it's evidenced by his obedience to the Word. The second builder, Jesus refers to in verses 26 through 28. His character is foolish. And for everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man. Now that word foolish is the word moros, which we get our English word moron from it. It means dull. It means sluggish. It means stupid. It means lacking good sense. Jesus says, anyone who builds his house like this man is just plain stupid. Now look at his foundation. He built his house upon the sand. He chose a faulty and temporary foundation. Now, if anyone built this house on this sinkhole, knowing that this sinkhole was there, what would you call him? Maybe stupid would be mild. Well, that's exactly what Jesus says about a person who builds their life on any foundation other than the Word of God. Now, there are many foundations a person can choose, but they're all nothing but sinking sand and a sinkhole that's unworthy to be a true foundation. For instance, a person could build their life, and people have built their life on the foundation of money. They build their life on the desire to make as much money as they can make. They make decisions in life based on, will this help me make money or not? They make their priorities in life based on this very issue of money. What will help them make more money? That's a faulty foundation. That's a sinkhole. Or the foundation of self-centered life. Always about what they want. Always about what they desire. Always about what they want to get. Their dreams, their ambitions. That's a sinkhole. Or maybe they build their life on business success. Man, I just want to be a success in business. I want to be the owner of my own company. Or I want to be the president. And everything I do in my life is going to be geared toward reaching this goal. And whatever I have to sacrifice to do that, if it's my family, if it's my temporary satisfaction, I'll sacrifice it because this is what I want more than anything. That's a faulty foundation. Maybe it's educational attainment. Man, I just want to get as much education as I can get. Everything in my life is geared toward this. Maybe it's personal prestige or ambitions. I want to be important. I want to be a person of power. I want people to notice me. I want to be famous. And everything I do is going to be geared toward making myself famous. That's nothing but a sinkhole. And you build your life on one of these foundations, it will not stand the test of God's judgment. The only sure foundation is the Word of God. Now look at this man's construction. He chose a foolish foundation, a foundation of sand. But look at his construction. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. How did this man build his house? By not acting on God's Word. You see, it wasn't that he didn't know God's Word. It wasn't that he didn't study God's Word. It wasn't that he was not aware of God's Word. But he didn't obey it. Isn't that interesting? We would have thought, well, you know, he just didn't even know the Bible. No, you can know the Bible left and right, in and out, front and back. But if you don't obey it, you're building your life on sand. If you don't take the Bible as the authority in your life, if you're not making decisions based on the Word of God, then you are building on sand. You can come to church every Sunday, go to Sunday school, read your lesson. But when it comes to making decisions in life, how do you go about making those decisions? What do you base those decisions on? What's your opinion? What you think you ought to do? Just based on what maybe society says is right? What you may feel in your heart? What a friend may tell you? Or do you search out the truth of God's Word and say, now what does God's Word say? What principles and truths of God's Word bear upon this decision? And I want to make my decision based on those truths, those principles. This man ignored the principles of God's Word when it came to making decisions. He did what he wanted to do. He did not bring the truth of God to bear upon it. And Jesus said he was building upon the sand. And notice his judgment, verse 27. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When the judgments of God come against this man's house, it will fall flat because he had a faulty foundation. His life was one of continual disobedience to the Word of God, and this evidenced that he did not have a saving faith. He was not a Christian. Because he only heard the Word of God and not obeyed it, he revealed he did not even have a saving faith. He'd entered the wide gate. He'd gone on the road to destruction. He was one of those that Christ said, I never knew you. Again, in 1 John 2:4, the one who says, I've come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. You see, the Bible talks about the obedience of faith. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have a saving faith and it not show itself in obedience to God. Can't have it. If your life is not one of continual obedience to the Word and truth of God, then you're not giving any evidence that you have a true saving faith. Not at all. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many churches you've joined, how many times you've been baptized, how many prayers you've prayed. If you have not brought your life under the authority of the Word of God, and by His grace living based on the truths of His Word, then you give no evidence that you're saved at all. Look at what John says over in John chapter 3. Now this is a very interesting passage. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Now we all say, yeah, I believe it. Yeah, that's right. I've always heard, you know, he that believes. Got to have faith. You believe. Right? Now look at what it says. But he who does not believe the Son of God will not see life. Is that what it says? No, huh? You would think it would say that. That makes sense to say that, wouldn't it? I mean, it would just flow from the passage. He who believes has eternal life. He who does not believe does not have life. But it doesn't say that. It says, he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't have any problem switching out obedience and faith. Not a bit. What you would naturally think would flow with he who believes has eternal life, he who does not believe does not. He takes obedience and substitutes the second faith for obedience. He who disobeys does not have life. You see, because obedience means you subject your will to the will of God. And a Christian is one who has experienced a revolution in their life. They have stepped down from being the king, the boss, the ruler. And they've asked Christ to come in and be the ruler of their lives. If you're living in disobedience to the Word of God, if you've not submitted to the authority of God's Word, then you've never had that revolution. You've never had Christ come in as your Lord and Savior. And you're not a believer. Now, which builder are you? Are you the wise builder or the foolish builder? Let me ask some questions. Are you living under the authority of God's Word? If you are, then you will answer these questions. Do you accept the whole Bible as God's authoritative Word? Is the Bible always a final authority in your life? Is your life constantly, consciously, and consistently directed by God's Word? Do you use authority of God's Word against temptations? Do you make your life decisions based on the principles of God's Word? The good news is it's not too late. Now, unlike a house, once you've built it, you know, it's kind of hard to go back and redo the foundation. Well, in your life, let me tell you, you can start today. If you're not building your life on the Word of God, you can start today. You can repent, turn to Christ in faith as your Savior and surrender to Him as your Lord and say, from this day forward, I want to build my life on the Word of God, that sure foundation. And then you start studying the Word of God and you start learning the principles and truths of God's Word, and then you start making decisions based on that. And when that day comes, your life will pass the test because you've given evidence of a true saving faith. Jesus won't say, I never knew you. He'll say, welcome. Come into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well done, O good and faithful servant. Which will it be for you? I never knew you? Or, well done, O good and faithful servant. It depends on your foundation. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us your Word as that sure and lasting and firm foundation upon which we can build our lives, that will give evidence of our true faith in you, that you've done a work of grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.